All right. Howdy, folks. Welcome back to another... Are you recording?
Yes.
Okay. Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Sundays at Sarah's. It's me, Marissa.
It's me.
No, start over.
No. Just keep going.
No.
We ain't got time for
it's Sarah.
And this is Marian.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And yeah, welcome back again. Today we're going to be talking about balancing work and school. But first, as always, we'd like to start off with the little art news topic that Miriam pulled up for us today. So I'm going to let her take it away and explain it.
Okay.
It's kind of sad. Brace yourselves.
Okay, I'm going to try and go through this kind of quickly because there's a lot of information. But this is an article via ArtNet. And it was dated from August 13, 2019. The title says, Tanya Bruguera and others are demanding their works be removed from the Aichi Triennial after censorship controversy. And then this is written by Taylor Defoe.
That's a lot of names.
I know, that's a long thing. Okay, so pretty much earlier this month, the organizers of the 2019 Aichi Triennial in Japan abruptly closed one of their events, exhibitions, over a controversial statue. Now, the artists are demanding that their works be removed from the triennial because this work was censored. And the exhibition was actually called After Freedom of Expression, which is kind of funny because they are trying to censor something. And so they were shut down 3 days after it opened, and it was because the curators received hundreds of complaints about a statue called Statue of a Girl, or Girl of Peace, by the Korean artist, and I'm sorry if I butcher this, but Kim Seok-hyung and Kim In-sung. And the sculpture depicts a comfort woman, one of the many thousands of women sold into sexual slavery for the Japanese military during World War II. So some protesters even threatened violence because of the sculpture. One of them was a man who said he would bring a canister of gasoline to the Museum of Art where the show was being held to burn it down. 10 artists have now released an open letter to the organizers of the Aichi Triennial expressing frustration over the fact that the After Freedom of Expression hasn't been reopened. In this, the artists request that the show be reopened under proper security measures just to make sure that nothing happens. So let's see. The man who allegedly threatened the triennial with an arson attack was arrested after authorities discovered security footage of him sending the message, according to the Japan Times. And they were taking this very seriously because recently, in July 18th, 2019, some of you might know that the Kyoto Animation Studio was purposely set on fire by a man who claimed they stole his idea. And this man had been sending, or they believe that this man had been sending threatening emails beforehand, before he took action on this, killing 35 people and injuring 33. He was not a former worker at the animation studio, but they were able to raise money to rebuild the studio and help everyone affected. I believe almost $1 million was raised within 24 hours.
But so people were taking this serious. They arrested that guy in Japan.
And that's also why they shut down the exhibition.
Because they were scared that someone would try to...
Yeah. And so when you look at the piece, I wasn't sure... Okay, when I was reading the article, I wasn't really sure why people were upset. And to describe the piece, it looks like a sculpture of a young Korean woman. She's wearing Korean, traditional Korean dress. And there's two chairs. One of them is empty, and she's sitting in one of them. But there's nothing particularly...
Like scandalous.
Yeah, like she... I mean, she's in traditional clothing, so she's very covered up. And she just looks like a young girl. So I wasn't really sure, like, why people were upset about it. So I had to do some research. And it looks like the original statue of peace, or the comfort woman, is a statue... A bronze statue that sits in front of the Embassy of Japan in Seoul, South Korea. And that statue was completed in 2011 by the same artist that we mentioned before and their couple. And this statue was proposed by the Korean Council of Women, drafted for military sexual service, by, or yes, the fund was funded from that foundation to have it in front of the Embassy of Japan by that artist. And so the reason why now that people are upset is because Japan has repeatedly demanded that the statue be removed, the original statue, the bronze one that sits in front of the embassy. But Seoul, and especially the victims, have rejected such demands consistently because the Japanese government has never officially admitted that its direct involvement of the military with regards to comfort women. In 2015, Japan stated that they would not pay the 1 billion yen, which they had come to compromise to, and because of the statue. They wanted the statue removed. But later they were able to compromise. But then later in 2018 of November, South Korea terminated the agreement that they had put from Japan sending them the money. So I wasn't really sure why they wanted to cut the funds out and not give the survivors the money. But it ended up being that the last survivors and the women and their families and everybody who was affected decided that they didn't want the money, and they were always against it in the first place because it was pretty much like, here's money and shut your mouths and never talk about this again. It was kind of like a cover up, or just like we'll give you money if you forget about it. And that's
like a settlement. Like,
yeah, exactly. And that's why they built the comfort woman bronze statue in the first place, as a symbol of apology, a symbol of peace, a symbol of this would never happen again. But because the Japanese government and the Japanese people don't want to recognize that they had something to do with this, or they would rather just erase the past in general, the women in South Korea and the government, they don't agree with that, and that's why they did build the comfort woman. But the one that is in the Achi Triennial is in Japan.
So that's why
the Japanese people are upset, because it's
something they don't
want
to talk about.
Yeah, and it's forcing them to see the bad part of Japanese history.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it is so crazy that you think about this article. It was written August 13th of this year. And when you think about World War II, such a long time ago, but people are still upset over this issue and upset that they don't want to see the bad. They just want to move on. But I think we all understand that you have to learn from the past.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's such a controversial issue. That's why the artists want to pull their work out, or they would rather have the exhibition open under security measures. Because, I mean, the title of the show is Freedom of Expression. And the artists are not even able to express themselves.
Yeah.
It makes me think about, on Twitter, the Auschwitz, Memorial Center, mm-hmm. they have, an account. And they're always tweeting and, sharing photos and, of course, because this is, they have so much documentation now, and they're trying to, piece things together, trace people who passed away in the camps, people who died away in the past, everyone who died, essentially, they memorialize through their Twitter account, and because it's, such a way, an easy way to spread information, people send tweets, retweet, and I always see them tweeting, about don't forget the past, we have to learn from our mistakes, we can't forget history, we can't be ignorant to these situations, we cannot deny them, these are the people that were affected, these are the families, this is this, because there are a lot of people who don't know about the Holocaust, there are a lot of people who deny it, there's a lot of people who would rather not talk about it, but it's kind of you need to be aware of those things, and it's not, I feel like, maybe they're taking it, very personal. Well, I didn't do any of those things. I have nothing to do with that. Why do we have to keep... But it's, that is part of that, unfortunately, of that past. And we can't just push those ugly things aside. The U.S. certainly has
mm-hmm.
a long and ugly history of terrible things that they have done to immigrants, to
slaves.
To like so many terrible things in the United States. And I think a lot more now, thankfully, with like social media, a lot of these flights of, you know, terror and inequality, there's more light shed on them.
Mm-hmm.
But like, imagine if we were just like, no, let's just like never talk about slavery again. Let's never talk about the internment camps. Let's never
See,
talk
but
about
they want to
like
defend their Confederate statues.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of flaws, but I'm just like,
yeah.
It's like in Japan, like I'm sure there's a lot of like
it's crazy because I'm sure like.
Yeah.
Japan has a really dark history, as a lot of other countries do too, but because of the way that they work and how they don't talk about those things, I feel like I didn't know what a comfort woman was, and when I read the article, I didn't understand why people were upset until I had done the research and seen the history, and I think we just have to educate ourselves from around the world of, like, nowhere is perfect, and we are definitely not great. And, like, there's always something that we can work on. But, like, obviously, like, art is putting, like, shining a light on this thing. And like you said, it's part of not forgetting what was going on.
And, I mean, it's done in such a subtle way, too. Because it's not like it's showing an act of violence. It's not doing anything. It's not pointing a finger. It's not. It's just a woman sitting down with a bird on her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the most peaceful thing, and the most like I would think. That's why I didn't know. I didn't understand what was going on, because also what I was seeing was so like.
It just,
like,
yeah,
it was
non-provoking.
Like I like the image, but like it wasn't like making me think of like.
I guess if you're, like, unfamiliar with the culture, you're not going to be, like, emotionally charged. Like, I don't get it. Like, it's a beautiful piece, but you're like, I don't understand the history. Like, I can't contextualize
it.
Well,
I'm not understanding why they had to close because of that piece. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So.
And there's actually a comfort woman statue here in the U.S., but I don't remember where it was.
I think probably when they see this, because it does look like a young girl, like, there's a lot of guilt that people feel, and, like, for so many people, it's just easier to not work through those feelings of guilt and understand where they're coming from, and to make amends for things that have, like, wronged other people. It's just easier to deny, reject, and ignore and move on, which is, like, so unfortunate because, like, these women suffered a great deal, and it's, like,
and
you're just being silenced.
Yeah,
and you're being silenced, and you're left to deal with your grief because of it.
Mm-hmm. It is sad, but I think it's also good that we educate ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
What else are we educating ourselves?
On
how to keep a work school
back. Yeah.
What is our transition?
So I don't know, guys. Like, what do you guys think about? What do y'all think about this story? I mean, obviously, it's a little bit of a more upsetting, you know, pre-topic to discuss.
Yeah,
but
and, I did want to bring it up because, like we said, not only was the artist who made the piece, you know, obviously this was like kind of like. How we mentioned before, art activism in a way, but also the artists like that were supporting them too, like wanting to take either it's like either you're gonna we're gonna take our work out of the triennial or you're gonna open up with proper like security.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a great move. Like obviously we saw that earlier with the Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like artists are doing like not only are they showing work and saying like here, look at this, but they are also taking action. And I think that is such a great thing now that artists have a voice to saying, if you know, saying or saying and standing up for what is right.
That we do.
And taking
an
action. Yeah.
I've always heard the whole thing, well, you can't change the world with art.
And it's
yeah,
like,
we can.
And it's like, we are. And we slowly,
there
slowly but surely there is a difference being made.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's to bring awareness to a certain topic or to really bring a topic back up to light to remind people and to really give these people that were victims a voice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for bringing up this topic and bringing it to our awareness and the awareness of our viewers. But I think we need to move on to the main topic today, which is creating a work and school balance. For those of you attending school in any capacity, high school, university, you know, tech school, anything like that, you know, you're balancing multiple things at one time, and this might not only apply to art students, but of course, any student attending school and having to work. So, is there really such a thing as a balance, guys? No, just kidding.
No.
I think there is, but you really have to be strict with yourselves.
So how about we just start with talking about
what
our first jobs were and where we were at in our lives when we started working. Like, so, like, how difficult was it for, like, what was going on in your life? Like, for me, for example, my first job was working at a small pizza place when I used to live in Mansfield. I think I was a junior in high school when I started working. And to be honest, like, that feels like such a distant memory. I don't even remember if I was only working on the weekends, if I was working on school days. Like, it's really so far from my mind. I'm pretty sure I worked, like, a couple school nights a week and definitely weekends and then, like, summer times. The job wasn't, like, super demanding. Of course, I didn't have the best boss towards the later half of my time there because it was purchased by a worm, a racist worm. And but I mean, like, I wasn't paying any bills. Like, I was, you know, putting gas in my car and saving money. And if I went to the thrift store, you know, buying myself a couple t-shirts, a dress, some shoes, you know, little things here and there. But I didn't have to worry about anything. And I think by my senior year, a lot of my class workload was really easy. The biggest thing I was worried about was art and applying for colleges. But even then, it didn't feel overwhelming by any means, you know? I was just kind of working for extra money. But I don't know if that's the same for you guys.
I don't really remember what age I was. I think I was maybe 16 or 17. 17. Yeah, 17. I worked at this burger place in the east side of El Paso. So I was in high school. I was in gymnastics. I was really bad at gymnastics. Don't ask me to do anything. I was really bad. I was only flexible.
Do a backflip.
Nope. But, yeah, I don't remember it being very demanding. I just remember having to walk to school, walk to work, and then walk to home. It was stressful because I did have to help my parents with money and stuff. I don't know. I don't really remember high school. I keep it out of my mind.
Yeah, I repress that.
It's gone.
I think, like, for me, I started working at 16 as well, but I was only working during the summer when I didn't have school, and I just worked a seasonal job at a baseball stadium, and, like, you know, it was easy because it's baseball, and you just kind of, like, stand around, and if people ask questions, like, you just help them. But, like, it wasn't demanding at all. It was pretty easy. It was standing, but, like, I mean, I was young. I'm still young.
Yeah.
And then also, I only did it during the summer. So I would, like, save money, and then, like, we would take a trip, like, my sister and I, or we would just save that money for school and just spend it on, like, food and whatever.
So, fast forward to maybe, like, your first year of college or maybe, like, towards the end. Were you working then? And what was that like with school?
My first year of college?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I moved here after I graduated high school. And so it was, like, my first time in El Paso. I mean, I was born here and we had come for vacations because my dad's side of the family is here. But, like, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any friends. I was going to attend a school with nobody that I knew. I was going to look for a job, not knowing any. Like, it was just, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I had applied a bunch of different stores. Nobody was calling me back. And then I got the job at Target. And I was 17, I think, when I moved here.
Do you bleep out every time you say Target?
No, I don't care.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm on Instagram and I'm always, like, at work and complaining about work.
Oh, okay.
For me, it's not a big deal. Like, I'm not...
Yeah, I'm nervous.
I know, like, literally anybody could find me at any time because I have so much public information anyways. Like, if someone went on my Twitter account, they're going to see that I'm like, oh, fuck Target. Or, like, fuck my shift, you know? So I don't take it like I'm going to be tracked down. There's security. Like I mentioned in the previous podcast, I carry pepper spray. I carry my keys between my knuckles. I'm very aware. I call my dad when I leave the store. I let everybody know my location. I take this shit serious. So I'm not like, you know, I'm whatever. People see me there. So it's like, there's no hiding it. It's not like some secret job. Anyways. What was I saying? Yeah, I was like seven. So I got the job. I was 17 years old. I couldn't work past 9. Until I turned 18, which was, like, a month after I started working there. Even then, like I mentioned in a previous podcast, my schedule, like, it wasn't that crazy with school. University, like, the first semester wasn't that bad. And I wasn't involved in any clubs. I wasn't involved, like, in any extracurricular activities. I was literally just going to school and going to work. So, for me, when I started, it was kind of easy. I mean, it sucked because mm-hmm. I would go to school from, like, 9 to 4, and then I would race to work to, like, be there on time by 5, because we get out of class at 4:20, and then I would have to spend 10-15 minutes walking to my car, then drive from the parking lot to work, then change into my work clothes. So I'd be clocking in right at 5, not have a chance to eat, not really have a chance to, like, calm down or cool off from the day. But beyond that, it wasn't bad until school picked up and the course work became more challenging. My expectations were raised, what was expected of me to be completed. And then, like, I know for you, you worked more than a few jobs, and all our different jobs are demanding in different ways. I would like to start a podcast on retail horror stories. We should start something like that, because I have plenty.
Or waitress horror stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just customer service horror stories, I
yeah.
guess. Yeah. For me, like, When I started school, I had to get a job, because, like, my parents kind of dropped the ball on me, and they were saying, like, we're not going to help you go to school. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess, like, I'll have to pay for it myself. I had, like, the money saved from, like, my graduation party, and I used that to take one class at UTEP. And after that, I had to take a loan, or I didn't go to school for a semester, and then I had to take a loan. But most of the times, I was only going to school part-time and working.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not terrible. I mean...
Were you only taking one or
two? I was only taking two classes. I was only
okay.
a part-time student. And then I was working part-time. So it wasn't, like, terribly demanding. And also, it was, like, the earlier classes, like you said. Like, basic drawing, drawing one. So
mm-hmm.
nothing, like, super crazy. And I would take a class during the summer so I could catch up and not be, like, you know, part-time all the time, which wasn't that bad either because, like, you go every day of the summer so you don't really forget things, and I was also working. But, like you said as well, like, it didn't start intensifying until I started going full-time and working part-time, and... You know, I just was spending more time at school and having more priorities because I was taking more classes. But then I also had to, you know, work to pay for my school. I really did not want to get a loan because I'm, like, scared of loans.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody is. But that, you know, having that. So I was working to pay for school. So I really needed the job.
Yeah.
I started off school, I think I had quit my high school job, like, a few months before school, and I started taking the bus, and then I realized, like, I need to pay for these bus fares, so I had to get a job, and I got a job as a waitress. I worked graveyard shifts, and I think because not sleeping really affects my mental psyche, my mental health, that really put a really large wedge between me and school. Like, I didn't want to go to school, I just wanted to sleep. Graveyard shifts, I used to work at Village Inn,
I remember.
My graveyard shifts, they'd be from, if someone asked me to cover them, they could be as early as 6 in the afternoon to the next day, 6 in the morning. So I was there putting up with people's shit, drunk people, and I mean, it was fun because I had the young adrenaline still in me.
Like, that fresh young blood.
The wide-eyed, whatever. That doe-eyed look. I still had hope, I guess.
Here lies good words, hopes and dreams.
I mean, at the beginning it sucked because it really took a toll on my mental health, but I could still deal with school because I was only doing that weekends and I could focus on school during the week. But did I? Not really. I was a bad student. But shortly after that, I had to get 2 jobs. I got another job on campus, which we'll talk about a little later. Towards the end, like my last three and a half years of school, I've had 2 jobs and I've been a full-time student. So I've had 2 part-time jobs. I was working 35 hours a week, going to school full-time, taking the bus for an hour to get to school, an hour to come back. School was hard. Work was hard. I never got to enjoy fully enjoy a moment unless I neglected one thing or the other.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
It got really tough to the point where, I don't know what the question was. I'm going off on a tangent, I feel.
No, but it's like, I think it's important to say that
it was tough.
It's hard. If you're, whether you're a full-time student or a part-time student, but you're trying to balance a work life with it, I feel like it's like that picture of the triangle where it's like exercise, social life, sleep, and you can only choose 2, but it's like work, school, and sleep. And then there's also, like, another point for a social life, and there's, like, another point for, like, good grades, and there's another point for, you know, all these different things that you're trying to do, studios, time, and you can only pick 2, like, still 2, so it's, like, it's a pentagon, and you have 2 choices that you can do, you need to have all 5 things done well, so you're running on, like, this really strict clock. It was definitely
tough,
but I don't want people to feel discouraged, like, if they have to work, if, I mean...
We're here.
Yeah, like...
I'm here.
We're still alive.
We'll get through it. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of sacrifice that you will make, but I think it's a good life lesson.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have to work while you're in school, like, you are so, 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 like, fortunate.
Yeah,
you are so fortunate. This is not to, like, be, like, people who don't have to work have it so easy and, like... like, good for you if you don't have to. Like, if you have a family or, like, means of paying for college, or you don't mind taking out loans and then working to pay them off later, or whatever you have to do to get through school, but you don't have to work. Like, I wish I could have had that. Like, I wish that I could have spent more. When I think about all the time that I spent at work, and I think about if I had applied that time in the studio, I think about how much stronger my portfolios would have been. I think about how much better I would have been earlier off than maybe not getting to a point where I wanted to be until my final year of school. And I think also maybe it takes you longer to get through school because a full-time student is 12 credits. That's 4 classes. That's 5 years to get a degree if you're doing just your, like, no spring semester, like, no mini-mesters, no summer classes. If you're just doing fall and spring semester, that's 5 years. And most people, I would say, who are trying to do 4 years will take 5 classes a semester. I could not even imagine that. You know, my younger sister does 16 to 18 credits a semester because a lot of them are performance classes or piano or diction or a bunch of things. She doesn't work like a quote-unquote, like, regular job. She does a lot of, like, mini side jobs. Like, she'll teach piano to little kids, or she'll direct the color guard on weekends during their football season, or she'll direct during their winter guard season, but she's not there all the time because she also has to prioritize her school. But for me, it was like, I need to work because I have responsibilities now. I have a car payment. I have insurance. I have my phone. I have gas. I have to be able to buy food for myself. Like, I can't rely on my parents. I have to get supplies. And, like, my parents would try to help me out as much as they could. But, you know, sometimes you feel guilty. I know my parents get stressed out with money, like so many people do. Like, and I don't want to be that burden for them. That was the reason why I started working when I was in high school, because I didn't feel comfortable going up to my mom and asking her for money to go to the movies. Or I wouldn't go out to do, like, to go to the mall or to go, like I said, watch a movie, go out to eat, because I didn't have my own money. I didn't get allowance. I didn't get, you know, I got, like, $20 every 6 weeks if I got all A's, you know? And that was, like, wow, incredible. Like, money? I have $20? So I didn't have, like, pocket change, and I felt terrible being like, Mom, can I have money to go see a movie? And then feeling guilty if that ticket was going to cost $8 or $10 because it was at night. So that's why I started working, because I was like, I want to be able to provide what I want to get, the little things that I want. And then when I moved here and I was starting school, it was like, okay, now you have more responsibilities. Now there's more things that you need to have, more things to be prepared. And, you know, I started out making minimum wage, which here in Texas is $7.25. A lot of, like, campus jobs are also minimum wage, and you, like, maybe the max amount of hours you can get is, like, 15, 20 hours a week.
19.
I was 19?
Yeah, 19.
Oh, okay.
You
okay.
cannot work 20 hours at school.
So it's also hard because it's, like, you need to make money to support yourself, so you need to go to work, but you need to go to school, and school, like, you want to prioritize school and you want to prioritize your studies. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes that means taking less classes, like how Miriam was taking one or two classes and working part-time so that she could pay school herself. And everybody's experience is going to be so different. And also, like, what is your goal? What are you able to afford? What do you need to pay for? How much help are you getting? And, I was tired all the time. Like, I didn't, you know, finding time to hang out with my boyfriend, to hang out with my friends, like, you know,
that's something that is also should be put into this equation is friendships, relationships, family. It's not just school and work. It's like everything outside in your life, how to balance all that.
Yeah. And for me, like, I think it was really hard because, like you said, like, I didn't have, like, we all didn't have anybody that was going to pay for our school. We had to pay for our school out of pocket. And even if we did have, like, a little bit of help, like, I got a scholarship later, you got a scholarship later, you have, like financial aid. I never got FAFSA. Like, I didn't qualify for it. So it was kind of like, you know, we had to do all these things to, like, work around it, to try and find some extra cash, to try and work. But we did it because we care about our degree, and we cared about, like, what we were working on, and we made it work, and we're still here today. But it definitely was not easy, and the amount of time that we put into our work and our school was intense. Like, I was waking up, like, really early. I was having to make breakfast, lunch, and dinner to take with me because I knew it was going to be a school day. As soon as I got to work, I had to eat really quickly. And then I would work up until, like, you know, 9, 10 p.m., wake up the next day again at, like, 5, 6 in the morning to do it all over again. It was just, like, really, really long days and, like, having to be prepared for that.
And I think also, like, if you feel like it's better to take a semester off to work and save, if you feel like you need to do one or two classes, if you feel like you can handle 4 to 5 classes, like, you really need to respect your boundaries and the amount of energy you're able to exude, because there's going to be different demands. And, you know, some people can handle work and very minimal sleep. Some people need the rest. Some people need, like, there's just so many factors to consider. I don't think, like, any way is, like, the right or wrong way. I would definitely encourage everyone to, like, stick with it and, you know, just power through. And I don't know if there's very many tips we can offer.
Yeah, I think, like...
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, prioritize your mental health, because I think every semester, I went down into a depression, and it was really tough.
It was really tough
to get out of, but it, like, you know, I didn't have an, I didn't, I felt like I didn't have any other options.
Yeah.
Prioritize your health and let people, and talk to people about what's going on, or, and maybe your work can be a little understanding. If you work on campus, it's one of the benefits is that they work around your school schedule. They have to. And you can let them know, hey, it's finals week coming up, oh, it's midterms coming up, can I take one or two days off so I can study or work on something? That's some benefits that I was able to have because I worked on campus, and I took advantage of it. Yeah.
I would say for me, I've been really thankful that at Target, one, like, our pay is getting a lot better right now, but two, that they consistently worked with me on my availability so that I was getting, you know, decent hours, anywhere from, like, 25 to 35 hours, and then, like, my last semester, I was like, I can't do this. Give me 21 hours a week. I don't care. Like, I need to work on school. But I always made sure that I had a discussion with my management team or with my HR team that my availability was going to change the moment that the fall semester started, that I needed to prioritize school, that I needed to prioritize time in the studio, that they had to understand that I get out at 4 or 5, and then I need to be in the studio till 9 when it closes. Mm-hmm. And I'm here for you guys all weekend. I'll work Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday closing for 5 years, if that's what it means. Like, I won't take that time off. And they were always, because I got with them ahead of time and I let them know, they were able to work with me. So I think that's really important, is talking to your workplace management and making sure that they're aware of your situation. And usually when you get with them, and you get with them with enough time, I mean, I don't know if it's the same, because like I said, I'm lucky with Target that for the past 5 years, they've worked really well with me.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, if you're very proactive about that, most places will work with what you can do.
With that, also know when to put your foot down, because it happened to me. The reason I left Village Inn was because I had given them my schedule, and I told them I still have finals week. These are the hours I cannot work. They still scheduled me for those exact hours I said I couldn't work, and I had to put my foot down. It's like, I'm not going to go in today. I gave you guys the information you needed 2 weeks in advance. It's not my responsibility to find someone to cover those shifts, because that was an error on your part.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. What happened was that, the lady...
You got fired. Just kidding.
No. I didn't get fired. The lady said that I was being very rude and that it was my fault and I need to find someone to cover those shifts. Did I? No. That, I knew that was not my responsibility and it was not my fault. I went in my next shift and told them, you know what, this is my last shift. I'm not working here anymore because you guys did not respect my schedule when I gave it to you weeks in advance. And at that time, I had, I'm going to say the luxury of being able to quit a job just like
that.
Because not everyone can do that.
I was about to mention that too. Like,
I know right now, I can't just quit a job. That's
mm-hmm.
That's not possible for me. But at that time, I was able to. And if you're able to, then do it. But if not, let them know that you have school and that is your priority. And if not, if they can't work with you, I would say put in your 2 weeks, but I don't even know what everyone's situation is. It all depends.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like, if there was, like, something that I could do different, it would definitely be, like, managing, like, my time. Like, obviously, like, it's like I had a payment that I had to make for school, and that was, I feel like sometimes I was, like, prioritizing that more than I was, like, my work. But, like, in the long run, I feel like prioritizing my art would have been more helpful for me in the long run.
Yeah, I feel so. That's how I feel. how my last year was, where, or ever since I moved out, that I was prioritizing more,
paying your bills,
paying my bills and all that stuff, rather than focusing on my work, and I really suffered from that.
Yeah, because I think the big thing is that you don't, like you said, you don't have the luxury. I think a lot of people, we don't get the luxury of just being like, I can't do this anymore, I gotta quit. You know, we have so many things that you have to take care of, and like, but at the same time, like I saw it with you a lot last semester, where it was like you were so miserable worrying about, like, I need to pay this and this is that, and because of that you were spending like less time focusing your time on your work because you were dealing with all these other things going on in your life.
Yeah.
But because you weren't spending time on the work, that was also creating,
that's just like stress and
like
stress,
a guilt
and stress,
and stress.
Yeah.
For you, so it was affecting you negative in two ways. Like, the, you know, there's one state where you're feeling overwhelmed with work and school, and then there's another moment of like, I'm not doing the work that I need to be doing, and that's causing you also another mental strain. So I don't know where I'm going with that,
but
it's tough.
Yeah,
but
it's tough, and like, we understand, like, we understand firsthand, like, where you guys are coming from, that it's not easy.
And really what helped me with that, when I'm in that situation, is just taking a shower, going to bed, waking up, like, really taking time, just a single day, and really making, even if not even a whole day, just do something that, it's not buying yourself something, it's not eating something, it's like really taking care of yourself, whether that means like you meditate for a little bit. I meditate in the shower. Like, it's not like a, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like brainless. Because like,
mm-hmm.
when I'm in the shower, I know what to do and I scrub and whatever. But I don't think about anything. I'm just there listening to the shower. I'm feeling the scrubber on my skin, and that's it. And that's a sort of meditation for me, and that really helps mentally. And that's what I would do to keep myself sane, is take these long-ass showers.
Yeah. I think for me, like, being open and talking to it,
yeah.
about my friend, like, talking to my problems with my friends, and, like, kind of seeing that, oh, we're all going through something, you know? It's not just me. Like, we all are, like, being affected by work or by family problems or by relationship issues or whatever, but being able to like have a friend and talk to and like cry to sometimes, like when things were really tough, was also really helpful for me, because I was like, okay, it's not just me, you know, I gotta put it in perspective, like I'm not the only one suffering, there are a lot of other people who are going through like much harder things, and even though you're like, I know that like my problems are valid. But I just, like, that helped me get through whatever I was
yeah.
going through, because I was like, I know I can get through this. I've done it every semester, and I can push myself and really do it.
Yeah. So, with the whole balancing work and school?
What helped me, like, was that, like, towards the end. Of course, like, in the beginning, I think we all were, like,
you have to figure it out.
Yeah, you
it's
have
like
to
a lot
out.
Of trial and error, like, what scheduling is going to work for you, what
yeah.
you're able to take
and sometimes
on.
Sometimes classes are set and you can't move them around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I, like, was working, I, like, they say that, like, if you spend 6 hours in the studio, you need to be spending 6 hours, like, outside of class. So what I would do, like, I try to split it up, like, the amount of work I had to do by weeks, like, have this done by this week and this done by this week, and if that means a drawing a week, then that's what it had to be, and if I didn't finish, then I would have to start the other one anyways and work on both. And, you know, I was going to work at night, and that my job, like, you know, my job, like, working in retail, like, it was helpful because, you know, like, what other job is going to let you come in, like, at 5:30 and, then, like, you know, at the very end of the shift?
Yeah.
There's, like, not that many. But, you know, it worked well for me while I was at school. And so, on the weekends, I would get to the studio really early in the morning, be there till maybe, like, lunch or afternoon, and then at night, I would go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, like, how I did it, like, on Fridays and Saturdays. And, you know, when you think about it, like, I was in the studio or at the university almost 7 days a week or
yeah.
7 days a week. Like,
yeah.
I would go on Sundays sometimes just because, like, I had to try and fit it in where I could and spend so much time there to get everything done and not be saving everything to the last minute. I was like, you know what? I can sacrifice my weekend time and sleeping in if that means I won't be so stressed towards the end or towards my critique time.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, the most important thing is, like, having a planner and sticking to it. Because if I can plan out, like, okay, I have classes on Monday from 9 to 1. I have a 3-hour gap before my shift at work. I'm going to work 4 to 11. That 3-hour gap, I can either be in the studio or do homework for one of the core classes. Then Tuesday, I might have class from 12 to 4. I won't work that day, so I know that in the morning I can take care of homework, and in the evening I can be in the studio, or I can make time for Michael, or I can eat dinner with my family. And then, like, since this, it's like every other day, you know, you have your classes Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday. It would alternate like that. I would, you know, if I knew I was closing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I would maybe spend Fridays at home doing work that I could, like drawings that I'm able to work on at the house and homework. And I would spend Saturdays and Sundays, the moment the studio opened, until I went in for my shifts. And sometimes you just have to do that. Like, you just have to do the work, but the work will pay off. I think also, like, something that I wish I would have done is maybe watched a YouTube tutorial on Excel and create, like, a budget sheet. Because right now what I'm struggling is, like, I spent 5 years in school working the whole time, and I have almost no savings to show for it. So it's like, where did that money go? Because I know I was making enough to pay my bills and buy supplies. There should be some money left over that I'm saving. So where is that going? So it's also like, I think a lot of us maybe divulge a little excessively, like, you know, you don't think about it. Like, Miriam and I were talking about it right now. I had to pay $55 for a parking ticket. I had to get my oil changed, which was $40. I had to pay my card. I had to, you know, like, the things that were piling up. And I was like, okay, I know I have, like, so much money in my checking account minus my oil change, my parking ticket, and my bill. I should, oh, and, like, I have to pay for my most recent doctor visit. After that, I should still have $100 in my account. And then when I go to check it, there's $36. And I'm looking at my transaction history saying, like, no, something's wrong. They must have charged me for something, or I don't know what's going on. And I look, and it's like, oh, you spent $3 on a bag of chips. You spent $10 at Goodwill Industries. You spent $7 at, like, just, like, all these miscellaneous things that add up. And so I think if you can do it now, create some sort of way to track your expenses and see, like, what can you cut out and what is necessary for you, so that way you can start saving. Because you don't want, I mean, like, right now I feel, like, so shitty that I don't have, like, anything. Like, I'm like, how do I see my tax returns? Like, I, you know, I do my taxes in spring, and it shows me how much I made in the year, and I'm like, where's all that money? Like, where'd it go? And I think that's, like, a really, really important thing that you guys can start doing now, is create, like, a monthly budget, create an expense or, like, activity tracker, and, like, be strict with yourself.
Yeah.
Because in reality, there are so many things that we get that we don't need. Like, you don't really need that $4 coffee every single morning, or you don't need to buy another plant. Just kidding.
No, I didn't.
No, but, like, I spend so much money on so much stuff that I don't even remember. And I'm like, what, was it worth it? Like, I don't have money. was it worth it? Was that cup worth it? Like, what's going on? another thing, like, one of the questions that I wanted to ask is, like, what kind of advice would freshman you be looking for? And me, looking back at, like, my whole time in university and, you know, working and saving or not saving and paying bills, is like, what would I have done differently? For me, like, definitely I would have bought in a used car. I didn't need to get a new car. My monthly payments would have been lower. I could be saving more money. I think, like, when you start working and you're able to afford stuff like that, like, it might seem like, you know, like, when I went, I was really encouraged, like, if you have a new car, like, it's more reliable, blah, 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 they sell you all these things. When I look back, and, I mean, this is not going to be the same for everyone, I wish I would have gotten a used car, something that would get me from point A to B, which is all you really need, if you drive and if you're licensed, whatever. And then when I finished school and I got a better job or I had more experience to get me a position that I really wanted or I'm making more money, then I could trade in and be making payments when I don't have to worry about, I have to spend so many hours in the studio. That means I can only work X many hours at the store, which means my paycheck is only going to be this much. And now that paycheck's gone because it went completely to the car. So that would be like something to consider, is like, you don't need to get everything brand new. You can shop secondhand to save the planet, because fast fashion is terrible. And that's a good way to save money and to budget. And then the other thing that I really, really wish I would have looked into as a freshman in the field of art and just like fine arts in general is doing, looking into work study opportunities on campus, because, and I don't know if this is the same for all universities, but at least for UTEP, we have a gallery on campus called the Rubin Gallery.
The Stanley and Gerald Rubin Center for the Visual Arts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she knows it. And, wait, what?
The Stanley and Gerald Rubin Center for
the Rubin. Everyone calls it the Rubin. but they offer, like, different positions there. What are some of them?
So there is the assistant preparator, there's the graphic designers. There's, like, two positions for graphic design. Marketing, art education, a general gallery assistant. And then they opened one up recently, and I think that just comes with, like, grant money. They had an archivist one for the past year.
Mm-hmm. And so I think having, if you're, like, if you're an art student and you're interested in pursuing a career that might not just be making work, but also working in a gallery setting, a museum setting, that is, like, valuable experience that is going to look really great on your resume, that is going to prepare you to give you new skills in a field that you're studying. Like, I remember maybe, like, last year, a year and a half ago, having a conversation with my parents. We're sitting outside in the patio. But I remember having this conversation with my parents outside and, you know, them kind of talking to me, like, how I'm feeling, like, if I'm feeling stressed because I've been acting a little bit different, and me breaking down and being like, I'm annoyed, I'm aggravated, I'm frustrated because I'm working all the time and it's not going to do anything for me. Like, I work retail for 5 years. What is that going to show on my resume? Which, like, don't be discouraged by whatever job you have. Like, if you have to work retail, if you have to work fast food, if you have to, whatever job you do, like, but for me, in that moment of weakness and, like, this vulnerable state that I was in, I was thinking about, like, my friends who have, you know, jobs on campus, jobs that have to do with gallery settings. Like, you know, maybe I would have been making less money, but maybe that's going to be better for me because then I actually have real life experience in something that I actually want to be doing, and I'll be more likely to get hired in this position, and all these opportunities will be more open. Or, like, my dad will be like, well, why don't you apply at the museum, at the EPMA? Why don't you apply at these things? And for me, I'm like, I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I don't know how to work. And if I apply and someone else applies, but they have, you know, that position for even a year or two at the gallery, they're going to have a better opportunity of getting in just because of that experience. And what is my target experience going to give me? You know, like, yeah, it looks good that I was at the same company for 5 years because they show, like, oh, you're not moving around, you're not jumping around, all these things. But it's like, what skills did that provide? I can go on and I can make stuff up, like, oh, I have, you know, I'm always going to advocate for the guest. I'm always going to make it right for the client. I know how to deal with uncomfortable situations, unhappy people, how to turn things around, how to, you know, like, you can fluff up anything. But when it comes down to it, I was just feeling so guilty and, like, shameful and, like, I should have worked harder when I was starting out and looked more at the opportunities rather than just applying, like, getting the first job that I could get and then not being open to trying that ever again. Because there were times where, like, Sarah would be like, oh, like, I'm going to go to work here. Or someone else would tell me, oh, I'm going to start my shift over here. You should look into it. They're hiring. And I'd be like, no, like, I'm at Target. I'm fine. I don't want to go through the whole interview process again. I don't want to deal with it. And now I'm like, I wish I would have done that because that's a better experience for me. And maybe I would have had to shuffle some things around with bills and payments. But in the long run, it will provide me a better outcome. So, not to say that you shouldn't work retail, you shouldn't work any of those other side jobs, but if your school has those sort of opportunities, if you can take them, if you can apply for them, I think it's not the only way, it's not the right way, but it's like something that can be so beneficial for you.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I don't want people to think like you can only work one job or like you're not going to make it if you work something else. Like, everyone's gonna figure it out. I'm figuring things out for myself now, but I'm just saying, like, this is something I would have wanted to know as a freshman, because like I've mentioned before, I didn't go to like any of the shows, I didn't involve myself, I didn't really network, I didn't talk to people. And when I did get around to that, it was like, I'm gonna graduate in a year and they're not gonna hire me to train me and then lose me right away, you know. So those are things that you might want to consider starting off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, I would have liked to have known that too, because I didn't really look into it. And also, I guess, like, any kind of like opportunities that were not just work, but also like volunteer opportunities.
Yeah,
there was like a lot of them that I just didn't want to do because I was like, I don't have time. I had to work on like my homework and like go to work. But it's like, I could have made time. There was a lot of like volunteer opportunities at the Reuben. There still are.
Volunteering Shinati, that was one thing that I never did, that I was like, I'll do it next year. And then every year it would come and I'd be like, oh, well, I have to work because I only work weekends, and if I lose a weekend, I lose a paycheck. When it was like, no, that's like such a valuable experience to have, to volunteer at a big art center, to be a part of that program, to put that on your resume, like, because whether we like it or not, like, the resumes are important. Your exhibition experience is only a part of it. Your volunteer work, I don't think I have anything under volunteer work except for, like, tabling at the Reuben one time. And it wasn't even because of school. It was because of my mentor at the shop, like, doing a little table, you know? Like,
well, you helped at the summer camp.
Well, yeah, I can add that now. But, like, I just graduated.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I don't know, like,
anything you can do. Out on that.
Yeah, you should have done that. But anything you can do to beef up the resume, I would say, like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a strong advocate for volunteer for the place that you want to work at. That's how I got into the Reuben Center. I volunteered.
You also volunteered at Creative Kids a lot.
For the Reuben Center, I volunteered a few times. I kind of met the people in charge, but because I volunteered there, because I came from waitressing, like, I didn't have any prior work experience, but I had done volunteering before. I volunteered at Chop the Block, I volunteered at the zoo, doing some art things with them, like, activities. I was always volunteering for the job that I wanted, and I feel like that really helped me out, get the job at the Reuben Center. I asked them how the interview went, like, when I was already gonna leave. I asked them, well, why did you guys hire me? What was, like, because I came from waitressing. And they said, well, because I had so much volunteer experience and because I was just ready to do anything and everything for them. And then also I was able to get another position as an art teacher because I volunteered at this place for a year and a half helping them out teaching. And when I left, because it came to a time where I couldn't afford to volunteer anymore, I left. They asked me for me to come back as a paid position. Volunteer helps, guys. If you're barely going into the UTEP, or if you're on your way out, volunteer a few times for the job that you want to go. If you want to work at APMA, they have volunteering, or just show interest in what they have to offer.
We should go.
Yeah, we should go.
Yeah. We'll go together.
I know a few people there. Or even at the Centennial, there's always, it's a small community, guys.
We know.
It's a very small community here, so if you volunteer somewhere, someone else will know from somewhere else. Put on a smiley face. Do the best you can and volunteer.
True. But, I mean, okay, so to wrap it up, like, what are the tips that we can give? If we said volunteer, try to budget if you can, as much as you can. Like, even if it's, like, the monthly budgeting. What else were you saying? Like,
mental health.
A planner and sticking to your schedule. Mental health, prioritizing your mental health. And then also, putting in your availability at work. And not letting them, like, take advantage of you.
Yeah, put your foot down. Yeah.
Anything else?
I don't know. Now I'm just getting upset.
No!
Marissa, let me tell you all the money I wasted. I was talking to someone about this. Okay, let's edit this out, right?
We can still make changes. Like, you know, it's like, it's not over.
It's
just because we graduated doesn't mean that, like,
it's over. It's
the opportunity is, like...
Yeah.
Opportunity is still there.
You hear that, guys?
We're back on. Opportunity is still there even after you graduate.
So if you're just going into school, maybe take some of these and apply them. If you're already almost done with school, don't be discouraged, because look at where all of us are at, and, like, we still are hopeful, we're still working, and a lot of us are seeing a lot of positive career changes, which hopefully we get to talk about, like, in another episode, like, all these good changes that are happening in our lives.
Oh, my gosh.
Because there's a lot of good stuff happening.
Yeah.
We talk, like, once you start talking about the bad things, it's easy to, like,
just keep going on
and spiral down and feel regret and resentment. But in reality, like, there are a lot of wonderful things happening, and we're putting in the work to make those things happen, and so can you. So I think that's going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Reach out to us. Oh,
yeah.
I said thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank y'all.
Thanks, folks.
Reach out to us on Instagram if you want Sundays at Sarah's. at gmail.com.
and our Instagram.
DM us on Instagram.
No, we're falling apart.
Let us know what you want to hear. Give us some feedback.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.